Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. What brings us happiness and joy? I suppose if you had a room of 100 people, one might expect up to 100 different answers. For some, happiness and joy comes through the simple pleasures of life, and for others, happiness and joy is the result of something more complex. Some only seem to be able to find happiness and joy in what isn't real, and anything from a simple video game to altering one's consciousness through drugs or alcohol may fit the bill. Others only seem to be happy and joyful when they can bring misery to others. These are the people who are quick to find fault with others or ideas, and then in a country like the United States, in which I live, are quick to claim a constitutional protection. Some find happiness and joy through continuous acts of giving, either of their time or money. Unless these people are doing for others, they seem to be without happiness and joy. For some, happiness and joy is found through their children and family, and they will do just about anything and make just about any sacrifice for their family and children. Others find happiness and joy in the things they have. They work to have what they have, and what they have not only validates the work that they do, what they have brings them happiness and joy. Some step outside of their house into their garden and yard or into a nearby park or area of nature to find happiness and joy. Some find happiness and joy in the company of other people. And for others, it is the company of a pet that brings that happiness and joy. And then there are the others. There are some who seem to be without happiness and joy, and they won't be able to tell you what could bring that to them. And there are others who seem to live in constant happiness and joy, and they couldn't tell you why happiness and joy is part of their life. What does the Bible say about happiness and joy? And as we come closer to the spring holy days, can happiness and joy be a barometer of spiritual health? Immediately before his death, Jesus taught the disciples of the Christian Passover, including the symbols of foot washing, the unleavened bread, and the wine in an event that occurred the night before his death. And he explained that they should do as he had done for them. Jesus then explained that they would be happy if they did what they knew to do. John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. Ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and was set down again, and said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent is greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Paul considered himself to be happy when he was given the opportunity to defend himself before King Agrippa regarding the accusations brought against him by the Jews. Once he was called by Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul lived his life as a testament to the calling he had been given. Called from a life having been taught the teachings of the Jews as a Pharisee, and even having persecuted the early church, Paul now considered himself to be happy, defending himself in the faith when he had once attacked the faith, knowing what he believed as a Christian was based on the hope of the promise made by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob so long ago. Acts 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. When writing to the Romans, Paul showed that faith is not something by which we judge another person, nor is it something we use to trip up somebody else. Writing about meat sacrificed to idols, Paul showed we should never weaponize faith to justify what we do and attack others for what they do. He explained that the kingdom of God is not about what we eat and drink, but it is about righteousness, peace, and joy that comes through the Holy Spirit. He added that faith is something that we have between ourselves and God. We do not parade our faith before others, and we evaluate what we do in light of the faith we have. He showed that we are happy when what we do is aligned to the faith we have. Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. James wrote of the need to be patient until the return of Jesus Christ, and how that wait will include times of difficulty for us, using the example of a farmer who waits a season to harvest a crop, even when the season is less than ideal for growing a crop. He showed that during this wait, we need to establish our heart and not to use the wait that is before us as an opportunity to nitpick with each other. James showed how those who endure are the ones who are happy. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Peter wrote that if we are doing what God expects of us, we should never be concerned with how others might harm us, but that we should be happy in knowing we suffer for the truth. When we are persecuted, we make sure we are right with God, and with meekness and fear, we respond to accusations made against us, even when false accusations are brought against us. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. If others think less of us because Jesus Christ is part of our life, we should find that as a reason to be happy. Because if Jesus Christ was attacked for who he was, we will be attacked for being a follower of Jesus. When we are attacked for being a follower of Jesus, that should bring us happiness, because it means God is with us, and we should use that suffering to bring glory to God. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. The Greek word for happy that we have read in the various New Testament verses is Makarios, Strong's Greek word 3107, or it is a variation of the word. It is the same word that is translated as blessed. And Jesus repeatedly used Makarios, or blessed, in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessings and happiness go hand in hand. Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The blessings and happiness that comes from persecution may not be apparent to us while we are being persecuted, but blessings and happiness will be fully realized when Jesus returns and we are resurrected to eternal life. The happiness that we have by doing what God expects and by living our life aligned to the faith that we have is different than the happiness sought by so many in this world. In this world, pride can be confused with happiness. A person who exudes pride might be thought of as happy when really all they are is full of pride. The same can be true of somebody who does something wrong and gets away with it, because when people get their way, whether legitimately earned or not, they tend to be happy about it. It is easy for those who know what God expects of us to see when something is done wrong, and living in a world focused on evil, there might be very little we can do about it. We can take comfort knowing that God remembers who are His in this evil world, and that when it is time for Jesus Christ to return, God will remember how we lived our lives. Malachi 3, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, What have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, It is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that they work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Living in this world, we could always place our trust and confidence in what people do. But if we do that, we need to keep in mind that all people die. And the people who we might trust now will one day be dead. By placing our trust in God, we place our trust in an eternal presence who will never leave us. When we place our trust and confidence in what people do, we need to remember that people can and will lie when it is convenient for them, and God never lies. By placing our trust and confidence in God, that trust and confidence will never be betrayed, and as a result, we will be happy. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress and my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me, and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David a servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manners of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, and there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is God in whom we have hope and trust. We could make the mistake of putting our trust in people, even the leaders of our nations. But as people, they cannot do what God can do. It is God who made all that we know and who preserves truth. It is God who brings justice to those who are oppressed and who feeds the hungry. It is God who provides for those who are overlooked by society. And when that God is our God, that brings us happiness. Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widows. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Proverbs tells us that happiness comes from finding and keeping wisdom. And through the Bible, we know that wisdom is rooted in the truth of God. Wisdom comes through doing what God expects of us. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Proverbs also tells us that those who keep the law are happy. The law that is mentioned could be any law, because when we obey whatever law we are under, we have nothing to fear. But the context of the law in the Bible is always the law of God. When we do what God expects of us, we are happy. Proverbs 29, verse 14. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The connection between doing what God expects of us and being happy is shown to us in the parable of the talents. In this parable, a wealthy landowner left to a far country, but before he departed, he distributed talents to the workers. The first worker received 5 talents, the second 3, and the last worker received only 1 talent. The first 2 workers took the talents they had been given and doubled them, and the third did nothing with the talent given to him. The 2 workers who doubled their talents were told they were faithful and did what was expected of them, and then they were told to enter the joy of their Lord. The worker who did not double his talent was called lazy and wicked, and Jesus explained that the unprofitable servant should be cast into outer darkness. It is when we do what God expects of us that we find true happiness. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take, therefore, the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus explained that if we keep his commandments, we will abide in his love, just as Jesus kept God's commandments and abided in God's love. The commandment that Jesus gave us was to love one another. And as we love one another, not only does the joy of Jesus remain in us, it is full within us. If we want to be happy, we need to live our life aligned to what Jesus would expect of us. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. When Paul wrote to the Philippians and told them to always rejoice in the Lord, he was telling them that happiness comes through God and Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peter explained that rejoicing with joy comes through God the Father and Jesus Christ, and that even though we do not presently see them with us, we know it is through them that we have the opportunity for salvation, which will be made available when Jesus Christ returns. We rejoice with joy because we love God the Father and Jesus Christ, and that love means we do what is expected of us. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Happiness does not always mean our life is without difficulty. Take, for instance, Jesus Christ, who suffered for us through the crucifixion and yet suffered because of the joy that suffering would bring to so many people. When we suffer today, it does not mean God is withholding happiness from us, but that God is helping us to develop the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, and have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Paul reminded the Thessalonians to always rejoice, and he also told them of the need to be patient toward all people, never rendering evil for evil, but to do that which is good. They were told to be in constant prayer and to be thankful, to have never-ending gratitude. They were reminded to not quench the Holy Spirit, to not despise prophetic preaching, but to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, and to abstain from even the appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. When we think about joy and happiness and how we need to be doing what God and Jesus Christ expect of us, we can remember what Paul told the Galatians, that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, meaning things like adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and many other things. It also means we will show fruit of the Spirit, including many things such as love and joy. Let's read what Paul wrote in Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Happiness and joy are elusive for many in this world today, even though these are widely sought. Most of what is thought of as bringing happiness and joy is temporary in nature. For those of us who are called, we look to God the Father and Jesus Christ. We know that by doing what is expected of us spiritually, joy will come to us as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We will be happy because we will be doing what God expects of us. If we lack happiness and joy in our life, it could just be because we are going through a difficult time in our life, maybe like the loss of a family member. But eventually, difficult times tend to go away. But if we are constantly without happiness and joy, we need to examine ourselves to see if we are really walking in the Holy Spirit. Because a fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. If we have God's Holy Spirit, and if we walk in the Holy Spirit, joy should be part of our life, and with joy comes happiness. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.